This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Double-digit spreads today, divisions on the line, two teams on today's card that are riding 10-game winning streaks, yet are home underdogs. Oh, and by the way, we've got a 44-year-old quarterback going to make a start today. So lots to get to as we welcome you into this Week 15 edition of Countdown to Kickoff. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And with lines already on the move overnight and this morning, nobody better to dive into it all with than Derek Stevens, who joins us here in studio to get things going, owner and CEO here of Circa, Golden Gate, and the D. How are you this morning, my friend?
Doing great. What a weekend.
Yes.
I'm actually glad rodeo ended last night. It took a toll.
I believe it. And you guys were like playing host to everybody throughout the course of the week, too. It looked like it was an awesome 10 days.
It was terrific. It was absolutely terrific. We love the Cowboys around here. They like to bet. They like to drink. They like to have a lot of fun. It was very nice.
Is it like, you remember in the peak Nick Saban years, one of the big betting angles was bet against Alabama's opponent the following week because they were still feeling it, you know, in the next week? Is it the same thing with the rodeo? You're going to feel that for the next few days?
I'm definitely going to feel it. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, let's get into some football because we've got eight games on the early morning slate. Lots of news to get into. Let's start with, I guess, from your perspective, what's been the biggest mover overnight or what's taken the most action in the last 24 hours?
Well, in the last 24 hours, we saw a lot of money come in on the under in the Jets-Jags game. Mm. And then we just saw a pretty significant move from 14 to 13 and a half on the Jags. We've seen some Jets money come in. So I would say that's probably the biggest side that we've had show up here in the last 24 hours.
Out of curiosity, are all key numbers the same? So, like, does it take the same to get from 14 to 13 and a half as it would from, like, 3 to 2.5?
3 to 2.5 is much.
Oh, right, okay.
That's a big number. You know, we got to teach that stuff in grade school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 to 2.5, that's a pretty big deal, right?
That's a pretty big deal.
14 to 13 and a half, that's a big deal, too. Mm. Not as big as 3 to 2.5.
Okay,
right. Like, you're absolutely right.
So not as big as, well, 1.5 to 2.5, but you guys were the first shop to get to 2.5 here in this Buffalo Bills New England Patriots game, and now the rest of the market seems to have followed suit.
Yeah, we went to 2.5. Last night, we were at 1.5 when I was on the show here. Buffalo was a 1.5-point favorite, and 48 mm-hmm. was a low number. So it went up to 2.5 and up to 49.5 right now. So we picked up 1.5 on the total and up a full point on the game spread.
All right, we got to talk about what I think is most curious. I was talking to, I believe, Travis out here. He's a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Last week, I sat in this book, and I watched that number for Texans and Chiefs get up to 5.5 before kickoff. We're doing it again here with the Chargers, huh?
We are. Isn't that amazing? We opened the Chiefs at 4.5, and now we're up to 5.5. Now, it hasn't moved recently. Yeah. We were 5.5 Thursday, hung there Friday, Saturday, so we're still at 5.5 right now. The total went up from 40.5 last night up to 42 right now.
Wow.
Well, the temps in that one looks like it's going to be pretty cold, 23 degrees in Kansas City. Winds shouldn't be too bad, though, at least, but a must win, obviously, for Kansas City. And so I think there's a big narrative element that comes with that. But we talk about it all the time, like just because you have to doesn't mean you will. And a lot of the stuff I've been hearing on this game, Derek, too, is like, yeah, well, Justin Herbert's injured and he's got such an injured offensive line. The Chiefs have an injured offensive line, too. They're down 3 offensive starters and nobody's talking about that for some reason.
Very true. Hey, I have a question for you. On a weekend like this, you're probably the most aware of weather around the country. Yeah. Wasn't it nice to stay in Las Vegas?
I can't tell you how beautiful it was. Just sitting over here at the sports book yesterday, watching the Army-Navy game. I even thought that last week for conference title games, too. I texted JVT, seeing the rain pouring down in some of those conference championship games. Like, you know what? My couch is pretty nice right now. The sports book's pretty nice right now. It feels good. And we've been seeing all the pregame footage of some of these snow and winds. Like Chicago looks unbearable
Cincinnati.
Right now. Yes.
I was sitting outside yesterday with a drink. It was 71 degrees and the sun was out. That's great.
Wow.
Just beautiful. That is something too. I've like had some calls with people that are on the East Coast and everything. I'm like, oh yeah, how is it over there? Snow all over the ground. Like it's 73 degrees as I'm driving to work. Not too bad, but might as well go out to Chicago as they're hosting the Browns today. The high is expected to be like 11 to 12 degrees with wind chill though. Feels like -1 to -3.
The feels like is the critical thing.
Yeah.
I think, and you know, opposite of Stadium Swim, Soldier Field is always 10 degrees colder than what it says. Stadium swim is always 10 degrees warmer, yeah. Right? It's just the way it is.
No heated pools out there in Chicago either?
No, I would tell you, it would have to be brutal at Soldier Field today.
Yes.
So the interesting thing is the line was at 7.5. We moved it to 7.5 on Monday, and it's not moved off 7.5 the whole week.
Brings me to my question. I think we asked you this last year, Derek. The best hot alcoholic drink.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You think about that for a while, because I think that's going to be needed when you're out there at Soldier Field.
I'm partial to the Bailey's and coffee. If you want to get real crazy, throw a little Jack in there as well. There, but like that's what I go with. Whipped cream on top as well, because I'm also a child, despite...
I would say I'm going to need it as a Colts fan. So let's stop burying the lead. Seahawks and Colts. So what's the story here? Where'd you guys open? What's the story of this line throughout the week?
We opened at 10.5. It steamed right up to 13.5 on Monday and never stopped. Now that was all because of the Philip Riverson. Yep. And then now, interestingly, it pushed its way up to 14 yesterday. Mm-hmm. Guess what? We have some Philip Rivers love coming overnight.
Wow.
We're down to 13.5 now, JVT.
I don't buy it. I went some alternate line, like 20 minus 20.5, like 2-1. I think they're going to get smoked. He can't move. He doesn't even have a dad bod. He's got a grandpa bod.
Have you watched his practices though? You watched?
Okay. Yeah, I've watched some practices. I keep sending her and our producer Justin pictures of him looking fat at unflattering angles. Like I think it's a nightmare. I don't think it's going to work very well against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
I love talking with you about ladders, because I think that's a great way that people should make their wagers.
Sure.
And this is your ladder game?
Yeah, I think so. You could definitely lay those alternates. Like, you know, you were in here. What game was it that we were with Derek? And he you suggested the alternate line.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
let's
keep pushing, which game was it? Like last week? Yeah, there was one, but you were dead on where it was like, no, you should play some alternate lines here. And it ended up getting there. It's the same thing here. Like if you're willing to lay 13.5, I think you'd probably throw out some bigger numbers as well at some plus prices.
I would agree. Would you think the same on the Eagles today?
So we've talked about this all week. I actually think you can make the argument Pickett's an upgrade over Geno Smith.
Okay.
So I don't think that it's, I hate to say it. I think I'd actually rather go Raiders than anything else. But the problem is, have they quit? Like they have like 4 games left. It's in their best interest to lose these games. I believe they control their destiny for the first overall pick as well. And I got to think they're going to send out some young kids and let them develop in these last few games.
And even, Derek, with the Raiders being, like, in my opinion, I think they're the worst team in the league right now. Even with that, are the Eagles really a team that we trust to win at a significant margin? I don't know. And so that was one that I stayed off of. But I did an ugly dog teaser.
Right.
Yeah. And I put the Raiders in it.
An ugly dog teaser.
Yeah. Well, so dirty dog. We call it plus, the dirty plus dog what, teaser. Like,
plus 18, 19?
Yeah. Yep. Plus 18 and a half. Love it. Love to see it. Come on. Let me live. Okay. I hit a same game teaser on Army Navy yesterday.
Right.
So barely half a point each way. What are you going to do? Yeah. What other games caught your eye though, as you were going through the numbers?
What caught my eye is we're down to 18.7 million in Circus Survivor.
Yes.
And we only have 10 entries left. So I'm going to be focused on Jacksonville, who had 5 out of the 10.
Yep.
49ers had 3 out of the 10. Eagles had 2 out of the 10. So we're down to 3 teams in Circus Survivor for that whole 18.7 million. And I will certainly be focused on that. I'm hoping that set of 3 teams comes through.
Sure.
I want them all to live to next week. We could have a lot of fun with this.
Can I ask, because one of the games that has been, I think, going in one direction, you can tell me, where'd you guys open Arizona and Houston? Because the Texans have been a team, as obviously I've been calling them flavor of the month. That, you know, they're red hot. They've won all these games. And now I think the market really likes this team a lot. But this is different. They were dogs in the last 3 games, Derek. And now here they are. They're a big favorite.
Yeah, they're a real big favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, double digit favorite.
Yeah.
So we opened at 10. Yeah, we saw some Cardinals money, some Brissett love there. Mm. Got us down to 9.5. But we're back up to 10. And now we're laying a little extra juice, actually. So it's been Texans money.
How about Packers Broncos? Because when I was going through the Circa Million selections this week, it's the second week in a row that a Packers game, you're seeing both sides being played in the top 5 consensus picks. So what have you guys seen here from a market standpoint?
Yeah. So obviously one of the signature games of the day, we were a 2 and we opened 2, and on Monday we went to 2.5, and it never deviated all week. Last night, I actually said we never got off the 2.5 the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens this morning? Boom.
Yep.
All Bronco money. We went down. It's a major move from 2.5 point favorite on the Packers down to a one. Mm. Where else do you have on the board, JBT? How many other ones are out there?
Let's see. You guys are at one. I've got one at Superbook. Juiced one. It's like there are a bunch lots of really ones. Juiced ones. Yeah. South Point doesn't do the juice. So yeah, they're at -1, -110 as well.
So this is all since my number here. This is as of 6 p.m. Pacific time last night. It's all Ben Broncos.
There you go. I mean, what did we talk about during the week? We did our market power ratings. We mm-hmm. thought like that's a really big gap between these two mm-hmm. teams. And sure enough, the market seems to be there.
Was there an injury update or a movement?
For Green Bay, Denver?
Just that Josh Jacobs is going to play. That was the only one that I really saw that was significant. Yep. But that wouldn't pay on the Broncos. So. Yeah, right.
So
if anything, that would be better for Green Bay.
Last minute with you here, the biggest need for you guys right now, what would that be here so far as we enter the morning window?
The biggest need as of right now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Circus Sports will be Jets fans today.
Okay.
Which is something that most people across America don't often say. So no. Derek, awesome as always. We really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this and giving us the lowdown on everything that's to come. Reminder, everybody, as well, VSiN.com right now /CFP. If you want to get in there, get access to everything that we do on the network each and every day. You also get the college football playoff betting guide that is out right now. I know we're all focused on NFL for the next 4 hours, but those playoff games are getting underway next week and you can get access to it all. VSiN.com/CFP. For Derek Stevens, Story Behind Tony, Jonathan Von Tobel, we're coming up with more VSiN's Countdown to Kickoff after this.
This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody, we're about 45 minutes out from game time as we continue to count down to kickoff here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. 8 games in that early window. We will preview it all. Line moves, injuries to know, weather. 5 games in the late afternoon slate as well, 1 p.m. Pacific for Eastern. Happy to be with you wherever you're watching or listening. YouTube TV, SiriusXM, Marquee, the VSiN Watch app, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Lots to get to, but as an Indianapolis Colts fan, I did want to get your perspective on everything that is Philip Rivers starting this game. I know you told Derek that you were playing some of the alts. That was your suggested way to get into this. But truly, what do you think we see from him today?
It's not great. I just don't know how that this is the option here. And we can go like big picture and talk about the state of development of players in the National Football League and that you feel is your best option as a team is to call in a guy who's been retired for now 5 years or whatever it is to get him off the couch at clearly not playing shape to give yourself an opportunity to win a game. I don't know. But I think that this is going to go poorly. I don't know how you would. I don't really understand people trying to translate Philip Rivers, who used to not be mobile, to the Philip Rivers now. That's not what this is. He's not going to be as mobile in the pocket. He's not going to be able to step up with the same quickness, not elusiveness, but the ability. When he is being pressured, his arm strength, I think, is a real question. You know, Schefter had the report today that, you know, the ball barely hit the ground when he was practicing during the week. We don't need the spin here. I think that this is going to be a very bad look for Indianapolis, let's just say. Yeah. And, you know, I was playing with this. I did locally yesterday, and I brought this up too, Stormy. We didn't talk about this during the week. Total non-data, non-analytical point here. If you're the Seahawks, aren't you like, really? You think you can roll that guy out there with us and you think that that gives you the best opportunity?
Sure.
We're going to cream this dude. So I think there's that aspect of it too. You know, these guys are athletes and they are egotistical beings. And so for another team that is potentially one of the best in the NFL to look across the way and go, the 44-year-old retired grandfather, you think gives you an opportunity today. You're going to learn. And I think that also factors into this as well.
I made the joke to you on Money Moves earlier this week that along with like the next gen stats tracker and catapult that all these guys have, like, why don't we add a life alert? I have fallen and I can't get up monitor because this is not going to be good against the Seattle Seahawks defense, to your point, that is aggressive, fierce. They've been so good at getting to the quarterback. Seems like a recipe for disaster in my mind. And it's also a huge indictment, I think, on what the Indianapolis Colts think and believe they're in their own quarterback room. Because, and another thing we talked about was if you knew Daniel Jones was dealing with that fibula to begin with,
yes,
how do you not have a contingency plan in place and try to make moves if you don't think the guys you have in your room are good enough? And you have Riley Leonard, who is dealing with the PCL, but he had those practices in full and took split the first team reps with Phil. He's not getting the look. And then Brett Rypien is apparently, according to Shane Steichen, one of three guys that are available at quarterback. That's the only thing he had to say about Brett Rypien. He was asked to tell us what we can know about him and how he's doing. One of three guys we got. That was the answer.
Yeah. We have a lot of games, and I'll just say this again. Like, it's just, if that's the response to the guys on your roster, why are they on your roster?
Yes.
I just don't understand that line of thinking. You know, I mean, it goes back to, you know, the years with Peyton Manning when he was at quarterback and the backup situation was a mess. I mean, I don't know if you remember Jim Sorgi, his backup for a while. There was Curtis Painter that was his backup for a little bit. You know, these guys that if Peyton Manning went down, and we saw it eventually with the neck thing and how bad they were and eventually led to Andrew Luck, but I just don't understand why you build your roster with guys that you were afraid to put out there.
100%. Also, there was a hope that DeForest Buckner might be able to get activated from IR this week. He did not. Meanwhile, Charvarius Ward placed on injured reserve this week after going in concussion protocol for a third time this season. Of course, Sauce Gardner shut down for the year. So a handful of other elements to take into account with the Indianapolis Colts here as well, who have dropped four of their last five games, including three straight. Let's go through the board here, though, in rotation order now that we got that out of the way. Arizona at Houston going head-to-head. This Cardinals wide receiver room in a bit of dire straits. No Marvin Harrison again. No Xavier Weaver. Both missed last game against the Rams and are out again today. Zay Jones, Greg Dortch already on injured reserve. So going to need Trey McBride and Michael Wilson to stand up. Their left tackle, Paris Johnson, left last week's game with a knee injury. He is out again, as is left guard Evan Brown for the second game in a row. So there's a lot already. This is a team that has struggled and has not been able to perform well, taking on one of the best defenses in the National Football League.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to read these off to you. You tell me if you notice a theme here. +4.5, +3, +5.5. Those are all dogs. That's what Houston was in these last three games. And yet here they are.
Double digits.
Big number, man. This is a big role change for Houston. The last time they were a favorite, they were a 5.5-point favorite against the Tennessee Titans, and they failed to cover that number. They only won that thing 16-13. This is not a 1-to-1 in terms of they're just not going to cover as a favorite. They covered a 7.5-point favorites earlier this year against the Titans. I just think that we always talk about our market power ratings, and we talk about where these teams are at and how the market is pricing them. You are at the top of the market here for Houston, and maybe they can get it done, but I keep sticking to the facts, Stormy. Their offense stinks. Mm-hmm. Less than 5 yards per play last week against the Kansas City Chiefs. They have been inefficient. They have not been able to score. I just don't know if I trust them to be able to win by this margin. They're very sound defensively. Are you going to get a defensive touchdown? Are you going to get a special teams touchdown to help buoy this? I just think that this is probably a little too high.
I hope you're right, because that is leg two of the Dirty Dogs parlay that I put together. So it's the Cardinals and Raiders, teasing them both up to get pretty decent double-digit numbers there. Let's go to the Jets and Jags, because I did think it was interesting having Derek on that he said the biggest need today is going to be the New York Jets in this spot. And we saw the line move up a few points once Brady Cook was announced the starting quarterback for New York. Tyrod Taylor had to exit last week's game with a groin. He's not available. Justin Fields, dealing with a knee issue, was inactive against Miami, and he's inactive again today. Adrian Martinez would be the backup.
I have no feel for this game whatsoever. I mean, I guess I can understand where you're looking here in terms of like the bets and the wagers coming in. But I mean, I don't know. Jacksonville, do we trust that they're going to be able to? I guess we've seen them blow out some opponents before, and their defense has been really underrated. That's one of the things that has been.
You've mentioned that a few times. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they've risen up to like top five in a lot of different key metrics, expected points added, success rate, things like that. So look, if they're going to be that dominant, if that's going to continue on this run, and Trevor Lawrence is coming off of his best game of the season, arguably, I think I can understand why maybe there is some support here to blow out a Jets team that is now, you know, tied for the lowest power rating in the league.
We talked about a handful of games that have weather involved, and I saw an image up on NFL Network of Stacey Dale standing outside in Chicago, and she looks
terrible,
miserable. I guess it feels like -6 right now, according to the latest report. Kevin Stefanski did say for the Browns that Shedeur Sanders is going to be the quarterback the rest of the way. They do have a lot of offensive line issues, though. Their right tackle, Jack Conklin, was out last Sunday with a concussion. He's still not available. Their right guard rolled out with a calf. Their left guard missed a couple practices this week with knee and back issues. He's been questionable. So this is going to be their ninth different offensive line combo today.
Ah, man. What do you think?
I know you like the dog in this, right? Leaned dog.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I can get there with all of the issues that they have up front. That's a lot to ask of a group with a rookie quarterback behind them.
Yeah. I think that's relatively fair. Where are we at? My screen's freezing up. What's the number right now?
7.5.
Total's what? 38 and a half.
38 and a half.
Yeah.
And you know, I haven't been a believer in the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I think I'm going to be curious to see if this is maybe a good Shador game again. Bears defense is not good. Your defensive line's great. I think the worrisome part is last week, Tennessee ran the ball on you. And you do wonder if Chicago's going to be able to do that here.
I absolutely think they can.
Yeah. So, I mean, like you said, I took 8. I think the Browns are the side. And I do wonder if maybe this is a little bit higher scoring than we think. I know how cold it is. I understand that. But I do wonder if maybe we get a little bit of success here from both of these offenses, because Shador's played relatively well. And Chicago, I think, can run the ball on this group, as we saw last week Tennessee did.
Ravens Bengals with the wind chill hovering around 0 degrees, looking like -1 at kickoff. Should warm up, though, to about 2 or 3 degrees. So there's that.
I can't believe this is up to 3.
Yep.
I shouldn't say I can't believe. You know, this is one of those weeks, too. A lot of the bets will have our best bets at the end. It's one of those weeks where the number has moved against me, and I think in like most of them. So I'm ready for a teeth kicking, you know. But here, I'm just, look, man, I'll take my shot. Joey B, they've covered each of the games that he has played in so far, although last week against the Bills was a sweat that need not be. I think that I'm going to continue to ride this. I don't think that there's this big gap between Baltimore and Cincinnati with Joe Burrow out there.
Do you think that any part of that is narrative driven with the Joe Burrow on the podium? Isn't having fun anymore. Ravens got to win it to still have a shot in the division.
I would think that a line move from 2.5 to 3 is not driven just by money that is supporting a narrative. But I think that there is a thought that Baltimore is playing better in the last few weeks, especially Lamar Jackson, and that this Bengals defense, which looked terrible on the ground against Josh Allen last week, maybe is going to be able to find some ways to do what Buffalo did to him last week.
Weird to have teams play, you know, twice in 3 weeks. I know the league has been doing that a little bit more the last few years, but, you know, still strange.
I want the baseball sets. I want them to play consecutive weeks.
Back to back.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Reminder, as we talk about being broadcasting here in Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, there is an awesome opportunity for you to have a special Vegas weekend and stay here. The first 100 new VSiN Pro annual subscribers who sign up using a promo code Circa for a VSiN Pro subscription get a free 3-night stay right here, January 2nd through the 5th. Plus a day bet at stadium swim in those heated pools for the final weekend of the NFL regular season. You'll also save 50% off the monthly price to get a full year of VSiN Pro. That's the daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and more, including that college football playoff betting guide that's out now. VSIN.com/subscribe. Use that promo code Circa.
This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody, back here on VSiN's Countdown to Kickoff. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Excited, as always, to have Warren Sharp join the program on the Progressive Guest Line. SharpFootballAnalysis.com. You can also follow him on X at SharpFootball. Make sure, if you haven't already, check out the Sharp Football Show wherever you get your podcast. And Warren, lots of news that we can get to. And I'm sorry to make you talk about this more, JVT, after we just talked about your Colts and Phillip Rivers, but it is the story of the day in the National Football League for a reason. And I know, Warren, you have some angles about this as well. What did you make of the announcement that 44-year-old Phillip Rivers is going to be starting against the Seattle Seahawks today?
Well, I took it from the perspective of the Seahawks defense got to feel very disrespected by this, thinking that a 44-year-old quarterback can survive behind the center, deal with the pass rush of mine, have success down the field. I think the Seattle Seahawks are going to take it as a personal duty to try to come in here and shut down this passing attack. And how embarrassing would it be if a 44-year-old quarterback rolled off the couch as a grandpa and just diced up your defense? So I think they're going to be playing really strong on that side of the ball. The way I looked at this is twofold. Number one, you can't drop them back to pass the ball 40, 45 times. You got to run it, even if you're losing. So I like Jonathan Taylor's rushing attempts over. I also thought that as a receiver, Jonathan Taylor might be useful out of the backfield, because you can't have Phillip Rivers back there kind of taking a snap from behind center and then scrambling this way, scrambling that way, buying time, and then throwing the ball 35, 40 yards down the field to try to find success. I don't think that's going to work. I think he's going to get hurt. I don't think he's going to be capable of doing that. So the underneath stuff is where it's going to be. So my stronger one is longest completion under 28 and a half yards for Phillip Rivers. I like that one a lot. And then secondarily, though, I did look at Jonathan Taylor's receiving yards. So those are kind of some of the ways that I played that one.
Just generally, what do you think about the nature of the game? Do you think this can get lopsided?
Well, as long as we can get some rushing success out of the Indianapolis Colts, I think we can keep it within the number. The key is DeForest Buckner, can they slow down that Seattle Seahawks rushing attack? Because Seattle runs the ball more than any other team in the NFL. So if they're also having success on the ground, they're definitely going to attack that beat up secondary through the air with some shot plays. If they can have success over the top and then also on the ground, that's going to be a problem. So the number one thing, if you're the Colts, is very simple. Stop the run, run the ball. Like those are the places that you have to start with in this game.
Fred sitting pretty firmly at 13 and a half right now, total 41 and a half. One of the more interesting games to me this week is the Stafford and Goff Bowl going head to head again with Detroit and LA. Rams laying 5.5, total 54 and a half. But I know you always come at these games from interesting prop perspectives. What stood out to you in that one?
Well, I'll tell you, Stormy, the interesting prop here is just stick with the thing that's the most basic, and that's Matthew Stafford passing yards over. It's a 280 and a half right now. I obviously got a slightly better number. I still bet it, though, laddering up to 325 as well. So I'm not concerned if you bet it right now at 280 and a half. What I like about this one is the matchup and the injuries for the Detroit Lions secondary. Mm-hmm. They just lost Brian Branch as well. They were already dealing with cluster injuries in their secondary. Now they're down Brian Branch, who's like the Joker, the X factor back in the secondary, can do a little bit of everything, really a band-aid to help out that secondary, which was dealing with those injuries. Now he's gone. The issue is that the pass rush of the Detroit Lions takes a while to hit home. Opposing quarterbacks average 3.06 seconds per attempt against this defense. That is the highest of the NFL. So they hold onto the football the longest before they're getting pressured and have to throw it. As a result, they also average the longest depth of target against this defense of the Detroit Lions. So quarterbacks hold the ball, push the ball down the field. They get Tutu Atwell back. Puka Nacua destroys man coverage. Devontae Adams is going to be up for this game. And this Lions defense is more of a pass funnel. They are better against the run, far worse against the pass. And they've given up like 340 yards plus to two quarterbacks in two of the last three games. Now they're going up against one of the hottest passing attacks in the entirety of the NFL. I just think Stafford, even if they're ahead, he's played his former team three times. He's thrown for over 300 yards in all three times. Two of them were in Detroit, where, as you guys probably know, much harder to hear the snap count, much easier to jump off sides, harder to deal with pressure. Now he's at home. I think he's going to have more success throwing the ball. I think they're going to throw it all four quarters. They won't really be able to lean into the ground game quite as much in this one.
All right, let's go to another matchup here. Teemer Adeyemi coming off of a game in which he tied a single game record for himself this season in targets. He had eight, a season high, I should say. Do you think he's going to have another big game this week against the 49ers?
I think it's a possibility. I think the targets will be there. Last week, as we know, they were playing from the lead in Cleveland in bad weather, and he still had that high of a target share. He's had four, seven, and eight targets the last three games, and they're playing as a double-digit underdog on the road. And if you look at this Tennessee Titans offense and who they've gone up defensively, it's been ridiculous and absurd, the defenses that this offense has had to go up against. They have played four games against top seven defenses, their last five games that they played. The weakest defense that they played was the Jacksonville Jaguars, who ranked 12th overall by my metrics. This San Francisco 49ers defense is such a difference, so much worse than those other defenses. Now, I do think that they've been coming along and getting a little bit better of late, and it's not going to be like a knife through butter for this Tennessee Titans offense, nor Cam Ward, but I do think that they're going to be playing from behind, have opportunities. The key issue here is, does he have time to throw the ball down the field to DK? And whereas against some of those other pass rushes, the answer was not necessarily. The answer in this game might be yes, more than he's had over the last 6 weeks. And as a result, I think DK has some laddering upside. I bet him at his base yards over low 30s. And I also laddered him up into like the 60-70 range, where it was like 10-1 payout. Obviously, you're not putting very much money on those types of things, but I do think that there is upside here for him as they're playing from behind.
And to your point with the 49ers defense too, a couple third stringers coming in this week. There was some optimism or belief you could get one or both of Tatum Bethune and Sam Okwuanu back this week. Did not get it. Of course, the big news though, coming out of that game, Warren, out of that game injury report, Warren, was Christian McCaffrey being a late add to the report with a back injury. What's your expectation for him and how this offense might operate with that news?
I mean, goodness, like look into a crystal ball. I really don't know. As it relates to that, all these fantasy players are probably pulling their hair out with what decisions to make with Christian McCaffrey. So rough spot for them from a season-long fantasy perspective. I don't envy anybody in that position. But one of the benefits here is that this defense of the Tennessee Titans is horrible against the pass, and they've sort of become more of a pass funnel anyway. So McCaffrey would have been better, probably, in my opinion, out of the backfield as a receiver in this game than as a pure running back. I think Brian Robinson is going to get more carries. I think Brian Robinson has a chance for more yards. Those props got bet into shape a little bit yesterday and then some this morning a little bit further. What I think here, though, is I played George Kittle longest reception over 21.5. The Tennessee Titans have been giving up yards. Last week, they gave up over 100 yards to rookie Harold Fannin catching passes from rookie Shedeur Sanders in the cold weather. Brock Purdy, George Kittle, far better at probably figuring out those weaknesses of that defense. So I like at least one long catch there from George Kittle. And then one of my guys, he likes Juwan Jennings a little bit in the receiver role, but no doubt about it. If Christian McCaffrey isn't 100%, which it doesn't sound like he is, and isn't able to take his full workload, Brian Robinson, more work, but also probably a few more passing attempts from this Brock Purdy-led passing offense of the San Francisco 49ers, and I expect them to see some success against that secondary, the Titans.
Warren, in Cincinnati and Baltimore, I'm curious. Last week, we saw the Bills absolutely destroy Cincinnati with Josh Allen on the ground. Are we going to see this with Lamar Jackson? Should they take a page out of the book from Buffalo from last week?
I don't think he's healthy enough to do that. Like, yeah. I at this point in the season, it's I'm not going to pay to see it. I'm going to see it and then I'll pay. Like I need to see Lamar Jackson look like Lamar Jackson of old before I go and risk money on betting one of his rushing yard over. So I've sat out on the sideline there. I do think the running backs for the Baltimore Ravens will have some success in this game. Last time that they played, it was Thanksgiving night. And if you remember, Derrick Henry had only 10 rushing attempts. A lot of criticism of Harbaugh after the game. I think Henry's going to have a big workload. I think Keaton Mitchell is going to have some explosive runs. I think that there's going to be some upside there. So I did take a little bit of Derrick Henry rushing attempts, Keaton Mitchell longest rush. I think the run game of the Baltimore Ravens should have success. The key is keep Joe Burrow off the field, that passing attack. Keep T. Higgins. Obviously, he's not out there, but keep this offense that's without T. Higgins on the sidelines, potentially playing from a position of weakness as a deficit if you can run the football effectively against this Bengals defense that has been giving up rushing yardage to most running backs.
Great approach, Warren, as always. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it. Good luck with your plays.
Good luck, guys.
Warren Sharp, everybody. And reminder as well, Warren's got a great deal going on right now just for VSiN listeners. If you get the final 4 weeks of his NFL betting recommendations for the price of one, so a 75% discount when you go to sharp.football right now, click the top link and use the code FINAL4, that's FINAL, and the number 4 on the rest of season package. Join up today. Great stuff as always. And you can follow Warren on X at Sharp Football. He mentioned no T. Higgins for the game. Yes, he is out once again dealing with a concussion. You hear that music? We got to step aside. Back in a flash on VSiN's Countdown to Kickdown as we final kickoff, as we unveil our final bets of the program. We'll be right back.
This is Countdown to Kickoff on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on VSiN's Countdown to Kickoff, Stormy Vontoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. And remember, this holiday season, you can make the holidays unforgettable with Omaha Steaks. From holiday roasts to hand-selected gift packages, Omaha Steaks delivers top-quality meals and memorable gifts that bring everybody together. Every steak perfectly aged and hand-carved for exceptional flavor. And right now, as a VSiN exclusive, you get 16 free smash burgers with any order of $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide. And with all the good stuff they have there, you're going to want to hit that limit. Visit omahasteaks.com/VSiN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. I just had some chicken from Omaha Steaks the other night. Can attest that there is something special about opening up those packages. Makes you feel good.
I think you need one of those burgers to soak up whatever's going on.
Fair point. Fair point. We're about 15 minutes off from kickoff. And listen, speaking of which, I'm sure there are a lot of you out there that are trying to make the quick last second booze run, get some snacks for the friends if you're watching all of the games today. So we'll get you set here on SiriusXM channel 158, wherever you may be watching or listening from. Remember, when you get back home and you're settled, you can pop us up as a second screen option, VSiN Watch App, YouTube TV, Marquee, all of those things. It is time now for our best bets of the day. I got a little teaser happy, so I want to let you go first because I know there are a handful of sides that you really were sold on.
The
I know.
Reason we're here.
There are people that actually like come for me on Twitter that are like, when's the last time you actually picked a side? I do every week. I just prefer teasers. I like wiggle room. What can I say?
Speaking of great sides over at omahasteaks.com, so make sure you check that out over the website as well.
Huh? And confirm the au gratin potatoes. Highly recommend.
Love it. All right. So for me, as I was telling you, this is one of those where it's like, maybe this is going against me, but then like I reviewed it again. I was like, okay, maybe it's not that bad. There's a couple that have moved against me here, but we persevere. Browns +8 against the Chicago Bears. You know, looking at some of the footage from out there on the field, wind is really calm. It's just really cold. It goes back to what I talked about at the show, which is, you know what? Can you find me a number? I have to look this up right now. Grand Salami. Because again, today you have a lot of cold weather games, but in Chicago, it seems relatively calm, just very cold. And I don't think that'll affect it. Anyway, Browns +8 on the ledger for me here against the Chicago Bears. Good pass rush against that offensive line. I think Shador's playing like a little bit better week to week. So we'll back them. One of the sides that moved against me here for sure. Patriots money line. Took him at even money. It's gotten up there. It's 2.5 in favor of the side for the Buffalo Bills. But do think the Patriots, by the way, starting corner out for Buffalo here today. And I do think that I just number thing, man. I don't know if there's this gap between Buffalo and New England storming. I don't buy it. So I went in. I thought it was fair when they were 1.5 point dogs, another 2.5 point dogs. Seahawks -20.5 at 2-1. We're going with the alternate line here. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I don't think you can just roll a 44-year-old out of bed and ask him to start a game in today's day and age against the best pass rush in the NFL. Chargers +5.5. Was talking to a Chiefs fan right before the game, and I asked him, why's your team getting bet up again? And his response, I don't know. He didn't understand what was going on here. Last week, I sat in that very booth and watched that number get steamed up to 5.5 against the Texans. Didn't come close to covering it. Give it another shot here with the Chargers. I just don't buy that what the market is selling with this Chiefs team, and they're doing it almost on a week-to-week basis. Bengals +2.5. It's up to 3. I'm just going to continue to back Joey B. I've been on him every week since he's come back. It's only a couple, but still, treated me well. We're going to continue to ride Cincinnati with him out there. And then a teaser. Commanders +8, and the Broncos, I submitted that incorrect. Oh, no. Excuse me, Broncos +8.5. That was when they were 2.5-point dogs. We had that earlier in the week, and dude, it is so weird that you're going to get this Broncos team +8.5 at a teaser leg, or plus now 7.5 at a teaser leg at home.
Yes, I completely agree with you. And this, one of the things that I led the show with when we opened up Countdown to Kickoff, was the fact that we have two teams coming in today that are riding 10-game win streaks that are getting points at home in the New England Patriots and Denver Broncos, both of which I used as teaser legs today.
I have a little bit of breaking news before you get to
yours. Go for it.
We are up to 6 across the board for the Kansas City Chiefs.
See, no.
As we're talking, that's up to 6. Circa just moved to 6 right now.
So now I'm upset. I could have got a full 12 on my teasers.
Yes, full 12. The key number of 12. Yes, continue.
But no, I'm in agreement with you on a lot of this. And instead of just betting them flat out the way that you did, I utilize them in a lot of teasers. So one of them is actually Chargers +11.5 and Broncos +8.5. I feel good about where both of those numbers are now. If you were to just jump in, getting the full 12 with the Chargers or 7.5 with Denver in this spot. But I think that there's this thought process that just because Kansas City is in a position where if they don't win this game, their playoff hopes are doomed, or there is actually technically a way if some other results end up holding today, that they're just mathematically done altogether today, which is entirely possible. that because they're supposed to and because they need to, that they will. And I just don't subscribe to that theory. They look old. Their offense is inconsistent. They're down three starting offensive linemen. Defensively, that was something that even when their offense was sputtering and having issues, their defense was really able to hold up and make up for those shortcomings. They haven't had that be part of the game plan this year. And I laid out for you earlier this week, or maybe it was last week on Money Moves, the losses that they had in those close games where they had opportunities late to try to get the ball back to Patrick Mahomes and make some late game magic. Defense couldn't get off the field to give him enough time to even have an attempt to do that in most cases. So that's been a lot of what's held them back. And I agree with you. I know people keep saying, well, yeah, how about the Chargers offensive line and Justin Herbert's injured? Yeah, but the Chiefs still have a lot of issues. And I don't think they warrant being a full 6-point favorite here. So Chargers in a couple of those teaser legs. The other one I paired them up with was the New England Patriots. I brought that up to 8.5 against Buffalo. I think Buffalo's fine. You know,
yeah.
I don't think they're that good. And I think that New England, for the shortcomings that they have, because of the, like, they've looked better than they actually are because of the ease of schedule that they've had. But I don't think that means they're a bad team either. Right. So I think that maybe people have overreacted a little bit too much to the strength of schedule when New England is a pretty good, pretty darn good team. And they did beat Buffalo in that first game coming up on week five that they played originally. It's a 3-point close game, sure. But I think New England's going to be in a position to keep it a 1-score game. So getting 8.5 in the teaser feels good. Then I did my Dirty Dogs teaser of the day. It's gross. Yeah. You're going to hate it. Don't do it if you don't want to. I don't blame you. I wouldn't do it if I, like, so Cardinals up to 16.5 and the Raiders up to 7.5. We talk so much about this Houston Texans team playing close down to the wire games. I get it. Their defense is freaking awesome. But what are they offensively?
Oh, yeah.
And listen, the Arizona Cardinals are not a good football team, but you're giving me 16.5 for a team that hasn't been this big a favorite all year? Come on. So rolling with the Arizona Cardinals, the Raiders plus 17.5 in a low total game. What is it? 38.5. I don't believe that the Eagles are the type of team that is going to win that margin, even against a team in the Raiders that I think is one of the worst, if not the worst in the NFL, but potentially a bit of an upgrade from Geno Smith to Kenny Pickett, as you've put it. I wouldn't say it's an upgrade, but I wouldn't call it a downgrade, right? Geno Smith was 30th among NFL quarterbacks in like a good chunk of statistics this year. 16 touchdowns, 14 picks. It hasn't been going well. And then I like when this happens. I have a carryover play with Warren Sharp today. I also bet Matthew Stafford over the 281 pass yards today, just thinking about how opportunistic he could be in the pass game against this secondary that lose Kirby Joseph, who had a setback in his knee injury recovery. He's out. Brian Branch done for the season with an Achilles. Terry and Arnold on IR. Thomas Harper had a setback. He's out. It is that cluster injury on the back end that I think is going to be problematic here. So give me Matthew Stafford, who has allowed, the Lions have allowed two of their last three opposing quarterbacks to go for over 300 yards. He's had success against his former team through the air, 300 yard days on 70% completions in all three of them. Let's see if he does it again.
How about this today? We finally have a relatively balanced 8 games in the morning, 5 in the afternoon.
Yes. I'm excited for the afternoon card too.
The afternoon card's great. It's going to be absolutely incredible.
One game we haven't even talked about, which we will, because something that we do is a part of Live Bet Sunday, in addition to giving you the live betting opportunities throughout the games that are going on, we preview those afternoon games and the primetime games. Saints-Panthers.
Yep.
That is a huge game in the landscape of the NFC South.
Especially after what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did on Thursday.
Yes.
So that is an absolute nightmare for them.
What are you supposed to do with Vikings-Cowboys?
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's... the fact that this is Sunday night, whatever. I guess we'll watch it later. But this afternoon slate's going to be great. A lot of big, impactful games. Looking forward to seeing if these dogs are going to be barking. Yeah. I'm a big dog guy today, it sounds like.
Except for when it comes to Old Man Rivers and the Colts. You're playing the alts. Playing 20.5 with Seattle.
I mean, if there's a God, the Colts are going to pay for their transgressions.
Today. I was trying to think of the way, and like Warren discussed, maybe it's Jonathan Taylor rushing yards. The Opta AI projector thinks Philip Rivers is going to throw it all over the place. What, yet his prop is only 151.5.
I got to think that their projections are negative game state and going to be throwing it, but
yeah, the 220.3 is what his number is set at.
I got
although
a buddy.
For interceptions, the DK line is just for him to throw a pick. Opta AI has him at 2.4.
I got a buddy who's a big Chargers fan. Told me last night he's going to have two completions of over 15 air yards. I'm like, all right, buddy. See if it happens.
I loved what Will Hill had of Seattle to have a defensive touchdown at 8-1. Also, you asked
two of them are 80-1.
You asked the grand salami number.
Ooh, yeah, what is it?
616.5.
Okay.
So what do we want to do with it? We'll discuss when we come back. We shift gears from countdown to kickoff to live bet Sunday with the action getting underway.